May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I find this Deuteronomy text appointed for today and read from the lectern severely challenging. How can I preach something helpful, relevant, from a text that talks about Jebusites and Girgashites and a few other sound-alikes? A text that recommends smashing sacred stones and cutting down Asherah poles. And all this during a week when many of you are thinking about finals and graduation and starting your career as a pastor, vicar, or deaconess. Believe you me, I was tempted to run away from this challenge and preach on a free text. After all, I've done that before. And free text preaching has always been a valid alternate practice in our liturgical Lutheran church. But something caught my eye in this reading and emboldened me to go for it. That something is these verses addressed to the Israelites. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you. There it is again, the good news of salvation by grace. There was nothing special about Israel, such as its size or its prominence or its goodness, that prompted God's kindness toward this nation. Israel's character had nothing to do with it. It was rather God's character that was responsible, his love and his mercy. We preachers call it grace. And grace, by its very nature, is always pure grace, sheer grace, entirely grace, only grace. Technically, the modifiers are unnecessary. They constitute wordiness. Gratia, by definition, is always sola. Otherwise, it isn't gratia. You see, what we have here in this Deuteronomy text is an exciting Old Testament parallel to the New Testament's stirring message. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Then another thing in this text caught my eye, and it too has to do with salvation by grace. It is the description of the Israelites as, quote, the fewest of all peoples. No, that's not the reason for God's goodness toward them, just a statement of fact. If human size and greatness do not move God to saving action, neither do human smallness and insignificance. Remember, the good things God does arise from his character, not ours. Yet, isn't it fascinating how often the goodness of God occurs also in the arena of human smallness and unimportance, in areas and situations where we would least expect it, to the fewest of all peoples, to use the language of our text. That motif is all over the Bible. The last shall be first, and the first last. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Publicans and harlots enter the kingdom of God before scribes and Pharisees. A lowly tax collector goes home justified, rather than a respectable Pharisee who fasts twice a week and gives tithes of all that he possesses. The beggar, Lazarus, who in his lifetime received evil things, is now comforted. A gangster on a neighboring cross is assured, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. A widow's mites constitute a greater gift in God's sight than the larger donations of the wealthy. The person who loses his life is the one who finds it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalteth them of low degree, and so on and so on. The fewest of all peoples. No, not a glimpse into the mysterious reason for God's goodness, but a glimpse into a surprising arena for God's goodness. Truly, his ways are not our ways. So, where do you and I come in? We do, you know, even in this ancient text. Verse 9 describes God as, quote, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. It's been a long time since God inspired this text, and a lot of generations have come and gone since then. But surely you and I are included among those thousands somewhere. What's more, we're included in another group too, the fewest of all peoples category. If not in a numerical sense, at least in a moral sense, in the chief of sinners sense of the phrase. Oh, I know you're certified. The faculty said so. Look at your academic record. It proclaims your qualifications. Your field work and vicarage evaluations. What further proof do you need? Faculty people, too, can produce their credentials. There are degrees and honors and publications. But let's face it. In those all too infrequent moments of introspection, in those painful periods of self-evaluation, prompted not by an attempt at modesty, but thrust upon us by brutal honesty and by almost suicidal desperation. In our heart of hearts, and not from a pulpit where you might get credit for humility for pointing it out, we recognize that we too belong among the fewest of all peoples. I needn't go into sordid detail. Remember that moment of rudeness or meanness, that don't give a hoot, shrug of the shoulder in the face of someone's problems, that pretense at expertise when we didn't have the foggiest what we're talking about, that hypocritical gesture of modesty, that effort to put down someone else's effort to escape the circle of the fewest of all people, that resolve to salvage your ministry by sola orthodoxy or sola personality. But enough examples. I promise not to go into sordid detail, so let's cut out this practice of introducing items by pretending to omit them. And get to the point, and that point is that you and I too are eligible for the fewest of all peoples category. Just between you and yourself, between me and myself, you and I know it's true. And while this truth doesn't cause or explain God's grace, this truth certainly does enhance God's grace. While we are yet sinners, mind you, Christ dies for us. It is that facet that makes this Deuteronomy text relevant on this, the 16th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2012. So, let us rejoice and be glad and go serve the Lord, not obsessed with our smallness, but rejoicing at his greatness. Amen. We rise for prayer.